Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Game over!
Welcome everyone to Game Over Calgary, following a 3-1 win for the Calgary Flames over the Minnesota Wild. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for making us a part of your post-game routine. Opinions mixed on a Calgary Flames win this evening on what was a bit of a mixed performance from the Flames. We will talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly from this game here tonight on SDPN. While you are here, you may as well like the video and subscribe to the channel. I don't know if I introduced myself. My name is Peter Klein. You can find me on social media at PrimeTime. Klein. So, the Flames won, which for the first half of this game was a remarkably deserved result. And for the back part of this game was a remarkably undeserved result. This was a tale of two games, but in both of those games, Jacob Markstrom was dope. I think he is the story of this game. We will get to the players who scored and why that's such a big story coming up in our second segment. In our third segment tonight, I'll be answering your questions as you send them on in for the presser. But we'll start with Jacob Markstrom, who has been, I think, one of the bigger stories this season for the Calgary Flames. You think about how last year went, right? And like, we all want to forget how last season went, right? Well, Jacob Markstrom lived it. And he, for him to have this kind of a turnaround is just, like, I don't want to say incredible or anything like that, but it takes a lot of mental strength to go from what last year was, where he was just, he was gone. It was done. Jacob Markstrom, high-level goalie, was, I don't know where he was, but he wasn't here. And then to have it turn around so quickly and so aggressively this season, like, I kind of thought, coming into the year, okay, so Vezina caliber Jacob Markstrom probably isn't coming back, but we'll get league average Jacob Markstrom. And I am not saying Jacob Markstrom is a Vezina candidate this year, that there are some high level goalies who are playing some high level hockey right now. But Jacob Markstrom may be in the conversation for All-Star. Thatcher Demko, I think, probably has the Pacific Division nod all locked up, but he might get a backup role or something. But he has worked his way back to being a legitimate, capital letters, number one goaltender in the National Hockey League. And to go from last season to this year is quite the turnaround, and so very impressive. And tonight, this Flames team, I don't have the money puck deserve to win a meter up or anything like that, but I would imagine this team, just from ye old eye test, didn't do great on the old deserve to win a meter tonight. But it was Jacob Markstrom coming up big when this team absolutely needed him to. And he was the one who kept this team in it. Calgary, after the Minnesota scored that first, their first goal, I guess what ends up being their only goal tonight, after Minnesota scored that, the Flames, I don't know what happened. It's not a positive thing that they reacted in that way to a goal scored against them. So that's concerning how they play like that. But Markstrom was the only one who was standing tall, as all of the chances that Calgary was getting were back in on him. Calgary got outshot, I think it was 15-1 to start this period, or maybe even 16-1 to start the second period, or to start the third period. And Markstrom was great on all of them. And he's so calm and so composed there between the pipes that there's very little second chance opportunities, unless it's a 3-on-1. There's very little for second chance opportunities. He has been everything you need him to be. Now, Conrad calling for the tank in the chat right now, and there's a lot of people who are on that particular train right now. Markstrom is going to keep you from that, right? And I have wondered for a bit if you pulled the trigger on a Jacob Markstrom trade. I do like the idea of him being the adult in the room with Dustin Wolf coming in and kind of learning the ropes that way. But if a team is going to give you something big for Jacob Markstrom, he has kind of worked his way into a conversation where that is at least plausible, right? Like, we know Brad Treliving likes the guy. He acquired him once. Toronto's having a bit of a goalie thing. That would take a just boatload of cap juggling if they were to pull off a Markstrom plus like a Tanev or whatever. Like if they were to pull that kind of off, it would take a lot of cap juggling. But he has worked his way into a conversation where he is going to drag this team, as Conrad said, drag this team kicking and screaming to Murray Edwards' two home playoff game dream. Yes, that's probably what it is. I don't know if he's going to drag them into the playoffs. This team is a long way to go. And there are, I was going to say, some good teams in front of them. There's at least one good team in front of them. So it's going to be difficult. But getting Jacob Markstrom back on track is so key. It does hide a few flaws, and it does prevent you from getting maybe the most optimal draft pick. But whether it is getting his trade value up or having a strong goaltender for the immediate future to hand things off to Dustin Wolf, I think both of those are positive things from an organizational standpoint. The negative from this one is basically everything else for the back part of this game. I don't know what happened to Calgary that made them just completely collapse. Maybe just the utter embarrassment of allowing Patrick Maroon to score a goal on you was too much for this Flames team to overcome, because that was a dog shit performance in the back part of this game. I'm trying to swear a little bit less on these, but I feel like it's warranted here. Maybe, probably not. They won 3-1. That feels maybe a bit excessive, but it was still doo-doo for what we saw from this Flames team this evening. They just, everything they were doing right in the first part of this game, just gone, right? Like, all the way out the window, that they had nothing. Minnesota was all over them. And this is basically Minnesota's B squad, right? Like, no Kaprizov, no Zuccarello, no Foligno. Gustafson's hurt as well. So Marc-Andre Fleury has turned back the clock and was playing really well in this game. But this was not a high-powered Minnesota team. And Calgary, like, it's one thing for a team to get a bit of a roll on you, right? Like, former colleague of mine, Peter Labardius, once talked about, or often talked about, how each team gets at least, like, you're not going to get dominated for 60 minutes, and you're not going to dominate a team for 60 minutes. Like, very rarely, right? Like, very, 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 very rarely. Even when San Jose was going on their bad run, they would have a stretch of, like, 5 or 6 minutes where they're playing pretty well. And even, like, the most dominant teams have 5 or 6 minutes where it's like, oh, damn, this is not going great. So I thought, like, okay, Minnesota gets theirs, that they get a goal, they get a bit of a boost. That's nice, good for them. But it never stopped. It didn't stop until there was like 2 minutes left in this game and Blake Coleman finds the empty net. That is not a good sign for Calgary. It was something I talked about coming off of the Tampa Bay game. Calgary got out to a lead, Tampa Bay came back, kind of popped them, made it a game, and Calgary was able to pull ahead. Zari gets a goal and they end up winning. And so I kind of thought that would be tonight. Like, okay, Minnesota gets a power play. They're getting a bit of a roll here. Oh, look, there's another power play. They're getting a bit of a roll. Is anyone going to stop this thing? That was the frustrating thing tonight, is that there wasn't, until late, and it was Backlund and Coleman, I thought, who stepped up and kind of put a bit of a halt to how things were going. There was no one to stop the forward momentum of Minnesota. I do a lot of stuff covering combat sports in various different areas. And you'll notice a lot of times when a boxer or an MMA fighter has really found their groove, they start walking their opponent down, right? And it's like, oh, you're not doing anything. Well, I can just keep coming forward and keep landing shots. And one of the things, like, they're from the guy who's getting punched a lot, there's no circling away. There's no, like, not even a jab or in MMA, a threat of a takedown or anything to stop that forward pressure from coming. That was the Flames tonight. They were just, for about 25 minutes of this hockey game, they were just backing up into the fence, getting their head beaten in, and they had no resistance. There was no, like Ronda Rousey's coach was, I'm going way too deep on the MMA analogies tonight, but like Ronda Rousey's coach was yelling at her in her fateful fight, head movement. There was no head movement. They just had their chin high, head stuck out, and just eating it for like 25 minutes against Patrick Maroon. That was I know I kind of preach a lot of times like, hey, celebrate the wins. There's going to be a point where we're not going to get a whole lot of them, and this team isn't going to be bad enough to tank anyway, so may as well enjoy it. This is not an enjoyable win tonight. I come away from this game from a Flame standpoint extremely frustrated with how they played. And that is, like we've talked before about, oh, exciting game and they lost. That's perfect for the tank. For those who are wanting the tank, and it's the conversation du jour in the chat, for those wanting the tank, this is the worst one because they didn't play very well and still won. So that's the opposite of what you want when you are fighting for a tank. But like there are positives to take from the start of this game, and we'll get into those in a second. But this was a game where I was like, man, I guess they won, so that's great. Good for them. But this is not a game where you take a whole lot of positives away from. Hopefully you take a lot of positives from this video. Like this video right now. Do it. Like, just it's right there. Like this video and subscribe to the channel. It would really help us out a lot. We got a lot of really good stuff here on this particular channel. If you've watched the first, 11 minutes of this stream and thought, I wonder what this guy thinks about international hockey. Well, you're in luck. Earlier today, I was on with Mitchell Brown doing Game Over International for the Team Canada heartbreaking loss against Czechia. We had every Canadian game covered for the World Juniors. We were going to cover all of them. We just didn't realize that was ending today. But it does sound like maybe there's going to be a little bit more coverage on that. I don't know what's official and what's not. But it sounds like we're going to have at least one more show on there. But yeah, Game Over Juniors 2024 has been a blast so far. All of that content is up here right now. Every game over from all the Canadian teams. The Vancouver Ottawa one is going to be a whole lot of fun tonight. With Vancouver up 5-0 on the Sens through 20 minutes of play there. A lot of great stuff here. So subscribe to the channel right now. There were some positives to take away from this game, as the Flames do get a win. So, and I guess if you are still team playoffs, the fact that they scored more goals than the other team is certainly positive. It almost stops there, given how the back part of this game went. But the start of this game was really good, and it was really good for two factors that we've talked about before are going to be a part of this thing going forward. One of them is Jonathan Huberdeau. This was one of the better games we've seen from Huberdeau this year. He gets the goal. It was a goal with confidence. It was a nice goal. He takes the pass in front. Maybe he thought he was just passing it, but he passes it to the back of the net, which if that's how you want to work, it works, I guess. But he was good tonight. He was really good. There was the one time he has a bit of a look all alone down the left wing side, and he throws the pass to Sharon Govich. It does lead to a Sharon Govich chance. That was one where I would have liked a shot on that. However, that wasn't just let's chip it over there and see what happens. Like, I referenced Canada against Czechia earlier. That wasn't Canada, that wasn't Canada's, like, overpassing things. That was a confident, no. I'm one of, like, 8 guys in the world who can get this puck to that stick and have it still be a chance. So I'm gonna do that and give this kid, who's second on our team in goals, an opportunity at putting the puck in the net. That to me wasn't him being spooked to shoot. That was him getting his confidence back and understanding who he is and what his value is and where his line mates are. That was him kind of getting back to normal a little bit. And this is 2 games in a row where he did that. Again, the back part of the game, everyone sucked. But at the start of the game, that was the confidence and the style from Jonathan Huberdeau that the Flames thought they were getting a year ago and are hoping they get for the next forever that contract is. That is such a positive, I think, from a Flames standpoint. And it was talked about on local radio here today or the other day. The baby steps is what this is going to be. This was at least a toddler step today. I was really, really happy with what I saw from Jonathan Huberdeau. And the other guy who needed to get going was the guy who, I believe it opened the scoring. What, didn't it? Andrew Mangiapane gets a goal. Yeah, it opens the scoring. He was exactly what the Flames need him to be tonight as well. What we talked in the last game about how he's kind of just been a dick and it's been really frustrating to watch. This has been a Andrew Mangiapane now who has stepped up and who has really pushed forward and shown what he can do. And again, Surprise, surprise. It's with Backlund and Coleman. But this is the Andrew Mangiapane you want. He was walking that line tonight, but he was being aggressive. He was retrieving pucks. He was getting to the front of that. He was creating opportunities. He was creating goals. And that's what Mangiapane did in this game. He pushes forward on the Backlund rush to get behind the defense, swoops in, puts a chance on net, sticks with the play, goes to the front of the net, beats his guy, and is able to deflect a puck into the net. That is the Andrew Mangiapane you want. And I have kind of raised some questions as to whether or not the next time the Flames are good, he should be part of the team. Or if you maybe sell a little bit high on this particular player, although I don't know how high you'd be selling right now coming off of a down year and a down start to this season. But is he someone, when we're looking at the rebuild and the tank or whatever, like, is his contract untouchable? Is this a player who we're not looking at moving necessarily, but are thinking of as the future? And I still kind of view him as the future, but I admittedly, over the past little while, the opinion has changed on Andrew Mangiapane, and I don't think he's the lock for 25 to 30 goals that I thought he was 18 months ago. But to get him going tonight with Backlund and Coleman was really, really nice to see. And that Backlund-Coleman duo, again, was excellent. Millen pointed out on the broadcast a couple of times the little things that Backlund does to help create opportunities. He makes a good strong play along the wall that leads to a Blake Coleman drawing a penalty. He makes a strong drive to start the Mangiapane goal and then keeps the play alive with a real good play along the wall to retrieve the puck, keep things alive, allow them to generate offense and eventually generate a goal. And Blake Coleman tonight was good. He had a bit of a dumb penalty at one point, but Blake Coleman was certainly someone who I really appreciated in this game tonight. I thought he played really quite well for this Calgary team, and that line together, it makes things flow tonight. The top line was going. It's weird. The only line that wasn't going was Kadri, Zari, and Pospisil. I thought Pospisil was relatively invisible tonight. Kind of same with Zari. Aside from the only good entry on the power play the Flames got, I thought that line was kind of quiet this evening. And that's a bit of a bummer. But the other three lines were really rolling. And Coleman and Backlund, when they have Mangiapane with them, it just sets the tone for the rest of this team. And the one thing I really liked that the Flames were doing when things were going positively was they made it miserable for Minnesota to get out of their own end. And not just like sustaining offensive pressure, but just like there's the defenseman back, there's a guy standing in front, he's waving the stick around, and the crowd's getting a little bit restless. Even just in those moments where there's only one or two forwards up there, they were doing a really good job of slowing things up. And that really is what actually led to the first Mangiapane goal, where they were battling. Minnesota was battling, trying to get the puck out, and eventually they couldn't, and then it gets swung around to the wall, and that's where Backlund, I'm talking about the penalty. That's what actually led to the penalty, was some real good work there, to create the penalty. But they did that on the power play, they did that on the goal as well. Just they made it really difficult for Minnesota to get up the ice. And that's something that we've talked about from a Flames standpoint. The neutral zone has been far too easy for Calgary to get, but the Flames are far too easy for Calgary opponents to get. For Calgary, this game was, at least the start of it, was a real nice change of pace for them to make that neutral zone a little bit harder to work their way through, and allowed them to really control this game. And for whatever reason, they got away from that, and it actually flipped, and the neutral zone became just very frustrating for Calgary to try to get through. So a few positives to take away. One last one while we're talking about the good of this Calgary team. That fourth line tonight was excellent. Like, just buzzing. And that is 1,000% what you want from your fourth line. Like, option one is just don't get your head caved in 5-on-5. But when you are spending most of the time in the offensive zone, that just makes life so much easier for the rest of the group to be able to start flowing. And Greer, I thought, especially was great. We harp on him a lot, so we'll credit him tonight. Dylan Dubé, I thought, was pretty good. And Ruzicka had his moments as well. Overall, the start of this game was really good for the Flames. It's just the back part that was quite frustrating. All right, we're getting ready for the presser. Conrad has already sent a couple of questions in. You can as well. But while you are doing that, make sure you like the video and subscribe to the SDPN YouTube channel. For those who are wondering, the Calgary Flames, in the push for the tank, have now leapfrogged the Minnesota Wild, although Minnesota does have a game in hand. They have leapfrogged the Wild for sixth in the wild card race. They still trail St. Louis, Edmonton, Seattle. Before you get to the two teams in the wild card spots in the West right now, Arizona and Nashville. The Flames are 3 points out, although Arizona does have two games in hand right now. And the teams below them, and this is why a couple people are talking, like Conrad talking about the tank tonight being over. And Matt C kind of following where I'm at. The tank is done. Might as well cheer for limping into a wild card spot. That last part I'm not necessarily there for. But they are not catching San Jose, Chicago, or Anaheim, right? Like, those are some bad teams. We're almost getting to the point where San Jose just won't catch where Calgary is now. It's not a great team. Chicago, same thing. Like, Connor Bedard is dragging that team. Anaheim, they've played maybe a little bit better, I think, potentially. I'm not paying a ton of attention to them, but they're bad. So, like, and then you look at the bottom of the East. Ottawa, again, as we discussed, is currently getting shellacked by the Vancouver Canucks. Columbus isn't getting any better this year. So, the Flames, yes, it is one thing to say blow it up and try for the tank. I do have to remind all of you, it would take an exceptional amount of bottoming out for this team to come close to getting the lottery balls that Anaheim, Chicago, Columbus, San Jose are going to get. I think Ottawa might be able to make a bit of a push here to get out of that world, but not much further out of that world. But they are not, like, it's going to be tough for them to be worse than Anaheim, Chicago, and San Jose. Depending on what the injury situation is, it's going to be tough for them to be worse than Minnesota, who had a bit of a rough go tonight. If all those guys are banged up, like, at full strength, Minnesota is a fringe playoff team. Not at full strength, they are what we saw in the first part of this game tonight. So this is going to be difficult to just absolutely bottom out. I think this year, when looking at the rebuild, the more rebuildish type of way, instead of just, shucks, they won 3-1. To me, it's going to be like, how did the kids play? How did the guys who are going to be here long-term play? That's why I talk about Huberto so much. That's why we talk about Markstrom. It's why we look at, like, what's Zari doing? What's Pospisil doing? You more want to see what the kids are doing and how they are acclimating to things at the NHL level than, oh boy, wouldn't it be sweet if Macklin Celebrini was a Flame? The answer to that question is very obviously yes. They're just going to have to get incredibly lucky because they're not going to be worse than some of the worst teams in the National Hockey League. All right, send in your presser questions for us now. Again, once you have liked this video and subscribed, we are now at 99,000 subscribers. So get us there. We get to 100,000. We get to do some cool stuff. We're a partner. So it lets us do more cool stuff with all y'all. So let's get us up there. Conrad, always bringing it with the press conference questions. If Jonathan Huberdeau is a point a game player from this point on, does that salvage this season? Salvage this season is interesting. Salvaging the season is either you get Macklin Celebrini or this team is a top three in the Pacific playoff team. And I think neither of those are realistic options, but it certainly gets about as close as you could. I will say, you know what? I'll say yes. I will say aside from, okay, of the realistic options that are out there, it salvages the season. Yes. Like, obviously the best one would be, all of a sudden they find their groove all the way to a Stanley Cup. I think that the realistic ways of this being salvaged is Jonathan Huberdeau kind of gets his powers back. The Monstars have been defeated and the star players of the National Hockey League get their powers back. And one of them is Jonathan Huberdeau. That would be swell. That would be something you could really build on for next season and makes you think that, again, it's probably going to be more retool than rebuild, but it at least gives you a bit more optimism for the future. And I think at that point, at that point, you could really see what works with Huberto, what young players are kind of mixing with him as well. So I think that just opens a lot of doors. So yeah, that's good. Conrad again, off topic press conference question: with how the team is going to, with how the team is going to stick around in the messy middle for this foreseeable future, are the Flames in the conversation for the Landon DuPont lottery? Look, I want them to be in the mix for every lottery for the next little bit, because I just long term, I don't think this team is a playoff team, long term, I don't think this team is a sustainable contender anyway. So any draft lottery would be super. And being a real contender in that, like, you guys know, I kind of push back against it a fair amount. I am team tank. I think this team should blow it up and try to start over. I think they probably should have tried that before when they were trading Tkachuk for Huberto and Uyghur, but they found Uyghur, who has been a really nice piece of everything. But yes, like I've been doing this now for like 11, we're coming up on 12 years of me talking about this Flames team, and I've seen like 2 playoff wins in that time. So yeah, like I do think that it needs to be like torn down and reconstructed. They ain't going to do that. They're going to come as close as they ever will, I think, this season with the trades of the defensemen and Lindholm. But I just don't ever see this team as a full-on bottoming out team. It's frustrating as fuck, I understand that. I genuinely don't see this team ever really being that. So to say that they're in the conversation for any lottery, I don't think that will ever really truly happen here, as frustrating as that actually is. Question 3, is Dubé anchored to this roster until the investigation into Hockey Canada is over? Dubé, he said Dubé in the thing, Dubé auto-corrected. I would say yes. And again, like I have none of us have any idea what's going on with that Hockey Canada investigation. But I would suggest that being a prominent member of that team, that he certainly has that kind of cloud hanging over him right now. And that would make any kind of deal selling pretty low. Like you generally don't want to sell super low, and selling a guy when he is on your fourth line with a horrific investigation hanging over his head, among many others, that's probably not the optimal time to make that move. So if the investigation comes out and he is free and clear of all charges and did nothing and knew nothing, then maybe you look at trading him. Maybe he starts to play better, because I can't imagine having an investigation like that hanging over one's head. Obviously, he's not the victim in this entire situation. Clearly not. But that would be obviously a lot going on with that. So I would say yes, the answer to that question. Long, kind of awkward way of saying it, but I would suggest that, yeah, that's probably the way that's going to play out. So that's going to do it for this one today. Thank you to everyone who tuned in live. If you're watching this later or listening to this later, love you as well. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein. If you want more of me, like I said, I'm on Game Over International. I'm also on Game Over Calgary tomorrow. There's a pretty good stretch of me coming up here in the next little bit. Not tomorrow, sorry, but next game, Thursday, as the Flames take on the Nashville Predators. Another 6 o'clock Mountain Time start. You can find me on here once the game is over. I also have my own podcast called Couch Potato Diary. Don't plug that a lot, but I've done 2 shows today. I feel like I've earned a plug. Thank you guys so much. One more time, like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we will talk to all of you after the Flames and Nashville Predators game on Thursday. Have a great night, everybody. Yeah!